Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just for a reminder how to join us, we have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can reach me via Skype. My Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, I have a secondary account called FranzGames, FranzGames. And that's where I announce this lovely podcast. And of course, this podcast gets turned to, this TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes, the Google Play, my own SFU On Call website, and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Of course, one thing that I did notice last week, and then they officially announced it as part of this week's news, is, of course, was all of 85 ships that were made available to the public on the new Shapeways store. There's actually around 50 or so different ships, 85 different models of ships. Steve Coles, again, has been busy working from home for the past week, recovering from his surgery. Please keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. Steve Patrick was busy working on Cabot's Log number 53, and also, of course, Zindi and Gorn Master Starship books. Jean was doing her best to keep those ships uploading to Shapeways and dealing with that website. Of course, managing the Rangers and keeping the spam assault at BBS to a dull roar. Because Lord knows. Gotta love the Russians. Gotta love the not the Romulans. I forgot the different ones that she told me about. Of different countries that have nasty, nastiness towards it. Moving forward, we got the SFB Online tournament. We have the 47 tournament run by Bill Scheller. Ted and Paul actually got to the end of turn 6, so they're on going to be doing turn 7 as soon as possible. They did actually, I'm not sure if you noticed or not, that was actually progress. It's been a very close game, and according to Ted, the only reason it's still close is because Paul had really sucky die rolls. Don't we all know that situation personally? When it comes to the World League tournament, the final matchups, are Rom Wee in the Klingon versus Old School in the ATC, Krieg in the Gorn versus Devil in the Klingon, Asmordin, in the Great Black Shark with two drone racks, and versus Sleepy Cat in the Zinti. So we shall see how that all turns out. There's no deadline for those matches, but good to see it. Moving forward to the library report. Unfortunately, there's no progress, so we still have a conversion of percentage of 70.6. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight it is me. No Barry, no Gary, no other people on the phone at the moment. But also we have the wonderful chat room. Hi, chat room. For those who follow football, it's currently, it looks like the early second quarter, with the score being 9-7 Cardinals, who got a safety, which was, I saw that and just that was weird. But moving forward to actually Starfleet Universe stuff. Starting this evening, we were going to start it with Shapeways miniatures for the month. I thought it actually was, they had over 50, I think it was like 52, or so basically over 50 different miniatures. There are like 85 different models. I say that because I don't consider each scale of a miniature to be a different miniature. Though I understand that it requires different designs. There are certain aesthetics that have to be accentuated or decreased depending upon what scale you're talking about. So I understand that they're actually different miniatures. But at the same time, to me, I don't think the what I was going to say is that the scale does not matter when it comes to the way the miniature actually looks. And actually, that is incorrect for some of the Romulan ships, if I recall correctly. Oops. And so, correction when it comes to the score for those of you who are keeping score at home. And that it is, my dear chat room Dave, goofed, and it's actually Seahawks. There are 9 cards, 7, not the cards 9 and Seahawks 7. So, which means the Seahawks actually got the safety, which was interesting. So, moving forward, actually, we're going to start with, as I said, start with the minis. We'll start, obviously, where you always should start at the top. I'm old school that way. You know, let's start at the beginning. God made the heaven and the earth. Now, the first two ships are direct ships. And these are the first two direct ships that have been created for Shapeways. And these actually look quite nice. Unfortunately, these are the directs. What do I mean by that? That means basically the two ships look very similar in the way they are designed. Big surprise. Which is they have a ellipsoid. Okay, that's the best way to describe it. Ellipsoid center with two mostly, it's like rounded triangular wings on each side. And they both the Battle Destroyer and the Battle Cruiser both have the same design mostly. Obviously, one of the things that will be different is going to be the weapons that are shown on the actual the pips that are on the sides of the miniature. But other than that, for the most part, they look almost the same. But, you know, that's the Drex. You know, what else are you going to say? What I'm actually really excited about myself is about... Well, actually, other than the Drex, because actually I'm quite excited about the Drex, because I think the Drex are one of those neat ship designs and overall empires. Though, if I recall correctly, actually the Drex aren't they're not an empire. They are a race that are part of a different empire. I forget what empire the Drex are part of, that they were created to actually protect their masters, which are the actual empire that they work for. They're like robotic guards, is what they are. But moving forward, the other things I was really excited about actually are a couple things. Number one is the different Federation fighters that are now available, which are You got the A10, A20, F14, and F15. So a nice cross cut of the different fighters. Of course, one of my favorites actually is kind of, you can consider it kind of plain, but I actually like it, which is, anyway, weird. Oh, no, okay, that's the A20. I'm thinking about the A10 is what I'm thinking of. Right, A10 is the Warthog. Which, I guess, I kind of show my bias of, because, believe it or not, when it comes to actual fighters, you know, flying around this day and age, I like the A10 Warthog, where you have the two huge, the massive engines on the back with a smaller fuselage with these smaller wings, which under the wings is where you have the weaponry mounted. And it's, I think it's kind of a interesting looking fighter. And obviously what it's designed for is ground assault support. That's what it's designed for. That's where you had that in the nose. You have the depleted uranium Gatling gun, which is interesting. Obviously, the problem with depleting uranium is, of course, it's still radioactive. But at the same time, depleted uranium will go through armor like knife through butter. Hot knife through butter. Oh, cool. Thank you, MG. Actually does some of the work. And he's just saying that the design of the battle frigate is up on the BBF. Which battle frigate? Is that for the Federation battle frigates you're talking about? Or the Drex battle frigate? I'm assuming you're talking about the Drex battle frigate because we were just talking about... Oh, yeah. And also, he's saying that MG sent the renderers for the F8 and F16 to Steve Cole today. So that's awesome. We're going to have more fighters. Because actually, I think the fighters are one of those things that have, for the most part, been missing from the miniatures in the past. And that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of excited to see them. Well, another one, it's kind of older, which I didn't notice it until today when I was taking a look, see at what the minis looked like. Because I looked at an announcement, I hadn't had a chance to actually look at it, and which is that the Zinni have an Omniscale Taos fighter, you know, TAAS. It's a tactical assault something shuttle. Or is it tactical assault attack shuttle? Is that what it stands for? Probably. But I'm looking at the Zindi scouts, I'm going, boy, those look weird. I'm sorry. The only reason why I say the Zindi scout frigate looks weird is because you got these three special sensors which are right on the front. And it looks like a big three-eyed monsters, what it reminds me of. You know? Because good bit of the ship is taken up by this head. This looks like the head of a monster with three eyes. Yeah. Dave. David is agreeing that the three sensor dishes look weird because basically the front part of the Zinni ship is this, it's not square. It's like, take a square and then you add a slant to it in the front. And on that slant, that's where two of the sensor dishes are. And then on the top, you have the final third one. Google, yeah. Oh, good description. David's saying it's a googly-eyed creature from the He-Man series. Jeez, I don't remember that. Now, here's the funny part. I actually remember watching the He-Man series. So, you know, I forget that was with my kids or I was watching the, no, I think I was watching, I was growing up. It's, I know, because I'm pretty sure the He-Man series is pretty old. I.e., it's from my childhood. The Klingons obviously have many ships. Big surprise that they are very popular. The Klingons and the Federation are probably two most popular. Let me just look at the count. Well, the Federation. Oh, wow. Looks like it comes to number of designs. We have the Klingon and the Tholian seem to be the most. Yeah, 1980s. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I thought it was when I was growing up that I'd actually watch He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, I think it was. Do I have that right? I'm sure Dave will tell me if I got it wrong. If not, I'm sure MG will look it up and go, "You were wrong." Oh, that's cool. Looks like I'm just going to mention one of the things that I find annoying, but I understand. And that is that Shapeways, for the most part, they don't actually show actual painted models of the ships. They show a 3D rendering of the ship. Overall, I can understand that because it gets quite expensive to basically print out a rendering, and it's going. And if you're going to print out, a rendering of a miniature, you're going to print it out at very high quality. So it's going to be quite expensive to actually print all these things out. Is it this one this week or no, it was not this week. Which is that they actually do have one, looks like they have one miniature which actually is painted. I say that strangely just because I'm looking at it and it's painted pink. You got a Klingon ship painted pink. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, MG. MG was mentioning that Gene is trying to get painted images of the minis by other people, which is going to make them the main image, which, MG, I agree. I would like to see that because I think it sets a better expectation. Thank you, Dave. Dave's saying he paints the Klingons pink for breast cancer and Fetzier's too. But I think if you can get painted miniatures, it sets the expectations of the customer. Especially if you can get, you know, obviously you want to grab one of the high quality miniatures so you can get all the fine details, which is what they're trying to show, and that's one of the things that the 3D model rendering actually does, which is it shows you all the details. Now, obviously, there's going to be a big difference between a 3D rendering, which is, I mean, ultra high definition. And if you buy, you know, they say, oh, it's only six. Okay, just for giggles, the F5K refitted frigate. It says WEM. Now, it says, oh, it's only $8. Now, I'm willing to bet you, though, close this, thank you. If I scroll down, if I actually want a black high-def acrylic, which really looks nice, and this, of course, is, again, this 3D rendering, digital. It says digital preview, not a photo. That's going to give you the best quality, and of course, it's going to cost you twice as much. What? Did you get that submitted? Did you send that to the Gene? I know you can't read it. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. And that is, Dave said that he also has the infamous D7 Death Puff that he, you know, also painted pink. And yeah, it's not on the Shapeway store. Again, it's a pink Klingon ship. Just kind of goes. It's kind of weird. I'm looking at the Klingons. Nothing. Ooh, wait a minute. Actually, there's one that I might be interested in because I kind of like this ship, which is the Klingon F6. Let me just look at this. Oh, okay. That's F6. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Which. Wow. That's the one thing I must admit about the frigates and the Klingon frigates, and most of the frigates in general, is that they're very stocky. You know, they're very shrunken. You know, it's like you took the boom section and just made the boom smaller, not actually the whole bridge section. You know, the bulb part. I'm talking about the Klingons, obviously. So, Dave's saying the pink CA versus the pink T7. That'd be my MG says his buddy painted as any as Hello Kitty. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not a Hello Kitty fan. Okay, moving onward. We had the scout. Let me see if I can get those, which are the. Okay, let's go with Omniscale, because I want to see if I can find it. Which is the Omniscale large freighter in ballast mode. Let's see if I can find it. Because that sounded interesting. Okay, large freighter. And ballast, yeah. Okay. Which is weird. I always imagined the large freighters. I think, was it the old model? Not the models. It's the molds. They actually used molds. You know, always was these two big pods, which were on each end, where, you know, like they took the pods and then they slapped the cells on them to provide power, and they have a little small bridge at the very front of the ship. That's always the way I pictured it. So seeing these other ones, in this case, the M-Scale General Large Freighter in ballast, the unballast mode, which is, again, it might be just that I'm looking at it in the wrong direction. That what I'm seeing actually is, it's probably the case, yeah. Where what it looks like to be the side is actually the front of the ship. You know, it's the bridge and all the mechanism, you know, the crew, crew quarters. Are in that one section, and then you have the two warp engines. I think, I'm assuming it's warp engines are on the side, and then you have these small ballasts. You know, instead of having these large pods, very shortened pod. Moving forward to, there we have the fast patrol ship Tender. Gunboat Tender. Ooh. Ooh, I like that one. That one I like. Look at this. Oh, that's cool. Let me just look at this. Because what it looks like is that they actually mounted some gunboats directly onto the tender to make it, you know, look more like a used ship, I guess. Yeah, looks quite cool. Let me look at this. Is this one that got added? Yes, it did. LDR transport tug, which I think is actually that looks nice. I like that one. Because I think it's supposed to represent two pods, right? Not four. Because the only reason I say that is because it looks like there are four pods and possibly like maybe split up into as like four mini pods. You know, the best way to describe it. I think overall, you know, I think it looks kind of cool. I like the LDR transport talk. You know, I think that's a keeper. Ooh, looks like they also did the Prober Dreadnought. Actually, I could have sworn I saw a picture of that. I forget where. I'm not sure if it was Facebook or someplace else. Let me take a look. See at this the Dreadnought. Oh my lord. That's the whack part about some of these ships. Because I'm looking at the Prober Dreadnought. Of course, Prober being the Prober. The ship is not long. It's not elongated. It's kind of short and stocky, and it's very wide. So that to me, this makes it kind of hard to understand the ship. Because I'm always used to seeing it, you know, like the Federation or the Klingon, where it's elongated. You know, the long part of it is the front to back, not side to side. Where's the one I wanted to look at? Not the Klingons. The Klingons are really worth that interesting. Let me see if I can find it. Because it looks like they published the Romulan War Eagle. And the War Eagle, actually, the King Eagle is one of my favorite ships, is the King Eagle. Excuse me. But they had the War Eagle. Yeah. I guess I like the War Eagle just because of this is one of those classic ships that was from the original series. I forget what the episode was called. I just remember seeing that plasma torpedo coming directly at the Federation. You can see this big ball of flame coming towards the towards the Enterprise. Ooh. Thank you, chat room. Balance of Terror. Yes, that is the one. Yeah. Oh, agreed, Dave. It's one of my favorite episodes. Episodes two. That's why I like the War Eagle so much, because that and obviously the Federation CA, both those are classic designs, and I do mean classic in the sense of the series. Okay, we have the Saturni that actually had the destroyer escort, the escort light cruiser, and the strike carrier. Let me just look at the strike carrier, see if I want to see if it has any indication that it's actually a carrier. Yeah, I think it's the shuttle bay at the back of it. Let's see if I can. Look at this a little bit. Nope. Unfortunately, I was able to comparison with the other ones. I was hoping to be able to do that, and that did not quite work out. Oh, okay. MG is saying that he actually added hangar doors for the strike cruiser. Oh, no, I'm sorry, strike carrier. CVS is a strike carrier. Which means that if I could get the 3D viewing working, because I'm willing to bet that it might be because I'm blocking the website or something along those lines. And it's why I can't see hangar doors on the strike cruiser, because MG, remind me or not, or are the hangar doors at the back, you know, of the Saltorian ship? You know, basically they're facing the rear. So the only way I can actually see them is if I get the 3D printing working or saw somebody else's miniature. He's saying that the hangar bay doors are... Open the hangar bay doors. Hal. Sorry, Dave. Yep, the back of the strike carrier. Okay, thank you, MG, for clarifying that. And that definitely is true. Give me a sec this. Because I saw these and I thought that they were also a really neat, unique miniature that needed recognition, which is the destroyer, the miniature, which is three destroyers in a pinwheel formation. The Tholian destroyer pinwheel miniature, which is three destroyers in a pinwheel formation. Now, they have that, and also they have a pinwheel stand topper, which is always good to see. Because that the pinwheel is a very unique situation. Oh, okay. MG is saying the best place for the hangar doors were in the back. And he could figure... But for the new carrier, they're on the booms, which is, again, interesting. Looks like the Tholian also got the Dreadnought carrier. I'm assuming that is the old Dreadnought, you know, like the Tholian, I think it's D. That's what it's based off of. And not based off of the Neo. The Neo-Tholian ships. Okay. Actually, MG, do you know a thing? If you know, okay, there it is. Okay, ignore me. They actually do have a Tholian web tender. That's one thing I was just about to ask you about. It looks like there is one, and actually looks quite nice. Whoever did the paint job really looks cool. I'm willing to bet that the material wasn't the best material for the ship, but I think it works well for the pod portion of the web tender. Because it makes it more real, I guess, you know, when it comes to, it's like almost a tube, and you can see the roughness of the tube itself. And those who are keeping an eye on the score, the Seahawks are 15, the Cards 7 at halftime. Moving forward, I think the Tholian Scott Destroyer shouldn't look that weird. Okay. There it is. Yeah, doesn't. And that's the Scout Destroyer. Yeah. Actually, the Scout Destroyer does not look bad. I like the sensors on that one compared to the Zinti. The Zinti just looks whacked. It really does. So I think that's about... Oh, and also... Oh, I missed that one. Which is the Tholian Battleship. Looks like that also got added. Ooh. For those of you who haven't been keeping an eye on the Shapeway store, like, oh, moi. One thing that looks like they did add was the Tholian Spider Fighters. They actually have a painted example right there on the website. So if you have a chance, stop by the Shapeway store and look at that one, because I think that looks really good. It's an awesome example of the fighter miniatures. And just want to see if we can find the battleship. Don't see it. This is a pocket battleship? No, this is battleship. Because I'm seeing the Tholian pocket battleship, which I'm not sure. I don't even remember the pocket battleship. Okay, let's look at this for a moment, just because I'm curious. It says, designed for defensive missions, the unique pocket battleship combined two destroyer hulls to produce a significant firepower at a loss of maneuverability. It could carry four spider fighters docked on the outer hull, almost never used beyond the core. Almost never used beyond the core of the falling in space. Any base with these ships assigned was secure from most attacks. So it almost acted, sounds like it almost like the, acted like a monitor in that respect. Oh yeah, there I agree. That's also one of my favorites is the pocket battleship of the Wind. This actually is a, it says, it's a Tholian pocket battleship as I was reading. The only ship of the type, although many more were planned, was the Dolomite. It was destroyed with a loss of all hands by the Andromedans, go Andros, while covering the evacuation of one of the Holdfast outlying colonies. Its destruction was the result of a structural failure from the cumulative shock effects and damage inflicted by the Andromedans. Ooh. Beat the crap out of it, huh? Which is always a good... I think it's kind of cool. You know, the ballast mode, which I think is always... As I said, for like the prober and the freighters in ballast mode, it seems like they're wider than they are long. So it makes it kind of weird. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it just makes it feel kind of weird because I'm not used to ships looking like that. You know, being wide but short. Okay. Nothing else. I didn't really hit on the Klingon ships because, come on, let's be honest. Most of the Klingon ships look very similar to each other. You know, I think, you know, there's quite a few other ships that are, you know, when it comes to the, empire. You know, different empires. Where within the empire, they have a lot of unique ships. So, with that, I think I'm going to move forward. Yeah, okay. It's there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move forward to the next topic. The next topic for this evening is actually going to be talking about Starfleet Marines. And the reason why I wanted to talk about the Starfleet Marines is mainly because I was inspired. Oh, big surprise there. And that is that the whole idea. There's one thing that currently, if you've ever played Starfleet Marines or or even just looked at the game itself. I've only played a few games of Starfleet Marines. But overall, you know, you got these maps. Now, to me, the biggest issue that I have with the maps is that the maps are very small. Now, let's be realistic here. The maps have to be small. Why? Because the maps need to be able to fit on a normal size table. You know, we're not talking about like these large F&E maps that you can get. Now, given that, I know, for the love of Pete, I know this is a crazy, crazy idea, but here's the one thing, and I really got to think about how to do this, because I would love to do this, which is simplify Starfleet Marines to a certain degree when it comes to movement cost and things like that, at least initially. Because of what I'm thinking about is this crazy, crazy idea, which is an electronic version of Starfleet Marines, but instead of having the small maps and have playing like quick sessions, the idea is that you have this huge map. Now, that you place your army on. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this would work, but that's why I'm bringing it up here. But the whole idea of it is that you have these this huge map where you can have these different armies that for, you know, which are made up of the different empires. Obviously, the big issue with the way Starfleet Marines does it is that unlike StarCraft or things like that, where each army has different abilities and different strengths and weaknesses and so forth, they have very unique units. Starfleet Marines is not like that. The whole idea is that each counter is a squad, not an individual piece. It is a squad, and therefore, you know, a squad for like a squad of humans might be six actual individual people. A squad for Gorns might actually be three people or three beings. Because I don't think you quite can call Gorns people per se, because usually people refer to humans. That's the only reason I say that. I'm not, no offense to the Gorns. Got it. MG was mentioning that it could be like the old Panzer General games. Yes, that's the whole idea. Now, what I would really like to have is basically this huge map so you can have this huge battle. That's what I would love. Now, going to three magic greens. I don't know. Maybe they do. Given that Starfleet Marines, overall, the rules are relatively simple. Obviously, the biggest issue with Starfleet Marines is not the complexity of the rules, but it's like playing F&E. Though, ignore the complexity of F&E, because F&E can be really complicated. If you're just doing the beginning part of F&E, you should be able to handle it overall. Take you a few hours of understanding and learning and reading of everything and how it all works. But because of the rules are so simple, in theory, you could actually write an automated player. you know, a robot player that might be able to do okay. Not great, but okay. But I think, because I think that engine, that how that whole AI is designed is fairly well known. Or at the very least, even it's not well known, not like a well-known algorithm that's out there. It's a heck of a lot easier than trying to write a robot player for like, oh, Starfleet Battles. You know, because in theory, you can do one for Starfleet Battles, but it would have to obey certain rules, and only in certain rules, it would not be able to implement. And it would have to also trust that the player is actually implementing are actually playing with the rules correctly. You know, if you want to cheat, you can cheat. You know, in the case of Starfleet Marines, I'm sure I'm probably, if I do this and I have a single player mode where you're playing against the computer, then it would kind of, I would guess it would, the best thing would be to lock it down. So it would require that you actually obey the rules that are known as part of the game. Because the problem with rules and SFB and FedCom and all those rules are meant to be broken by scenario-based rules. So they go, oh, well, no, you can hit, you know, it requires 5 points of energy to hit. Well, this is a special scenario, and it's going to cost you 10. Or 7 instead. It's because of you're in like the molasses, this molasses space zone, where it requires more energy to just move. You know, it requires you to spend more energy on movement. Well, you know, that's a special rule for that scenario. But how often you're going to have a client that actually implements that kind of behavior? You wouldn't. You'd actually would just let the player modify things by hand to simulate that. And that's one thing that I've, you know, run into with the FedCom stuff in the SFU online client. But anyhow, what I'd like to do is actually, I think it would be really cool is if you could actually have this really large map, and on this really large map, you can have a lot of artificial intelligence, you know, basically NPCs, you know, computer based forces, i.e. armies is what I'm thinking of in particular. And the idea would be something when you said old Panzer General games, I'm not sure if this was one of them, but the whole idea would be to have a constant ongoing battle that anytime you could actually just drop in, put down your army. You know, obviously you'd have to be limited by I'm not sure. I have to double check to see if Starfleet Marines actually has a idea of BPV for each kind of unit. Obviously, that would have to be limited in some fashion. It can't have like all tanks and not have infantry, you know. Or if you want tanks, it should cost you more. You should be only allowed to have like three tanks versus maybe six squads of Marines. You know, things like that. It's the kind of thing that I think is doable. Obviously, the tough part always is going to be the AI. And also making sure that, more to the point, that the AI obeys the rules. You know, obviously that the human, you can allow the human to cheat if you want to, but it'd be turn-based, you know, MG, because everyone says, oh, let's have a real-time strategy. No, you don't want a real-time strategy. Um, Because as it is, there I had an idea of another game, which was a weird concept game in my mind, in that it was still turn-based, but it was also real-time. You know, kind of weird. And that was more of, I call it SFU Ships. Note, I still own the domain for that, so don't try to take it. But anyhow, but you know, at the very least, you know, because if I was going to do a real-time strategy game, what I would definitely have to do is switch it to be more based on Unity. Though even that, I've got a lot of questions that are outstanding in my brain. I've written them down. I just have not discussed them with the Unity community. For example, is Unity a... does it have the support needed to write strategy games? You know, not just the support when it comes to moving the pieces, but, you know, obviously supporting the interaction of the pieces when it comes to damage and things like that. And how was that done? How about storing the saving a game so you can play it later on? Things along those lines, where they're not, you know, not traditional RTS games, because usually, you know, for real time strategy game, usually you have a save point of some sort, you know, or you can save it at any time. It's always this fast paced game, and Lord knows I'm too old to play fast paced games, I would love to play more Starfleet Marines, and if I could actually implement the rules with an AI, and I could obviously follow the rules myself, then I'd have someone to play against anytime I wanted to, instead of having to try and cajole someone to actually playing a game of Starfleet Marines, because I know Starfleet Marines is not exactly a high selling game for ADB. I'm not sure exactly what you'd have to do to make it so. I don't think you'd want to make it to another ASL, you know, Advanced Squad Leader. Because it's like having Starfleet. The whole idea of ASL is like Starfleet battles, but for ground units. So, it's just, it is, you know, goofy, the thing in this. But, you know, that's why, you know, I would love to find out when it comes to Unity can actually be done. Because I mentioned to a couple people, I probably have told you guys, which is, you know, this SFU Ships, in that I've already written part of it in Unity just as a test, just to see if it can be done and try to understand how Unity works as a framework and as a game engine. And it definitely can be done when it comes to can play, have it so it plays for you. The only question I have about that is, how do you do basically monster stuff, monster units, you know, automated units that will automatically fight and move and all that kind of thing. How do you normally develop that kind of thing under Unity? You know, because the way it's written so that, you know, that the units themselves can move. They're autonomous when it comes to moving and things like that. And, you know, and some of the rules for interacting are unique to that unit. But the question when it comes to doing that, you know, is that model, well, one, is there other ways of controlling these units outside of that little loop thing? Or do people actually just write up an AI on that? And then, of course, they'd have to have a way of saving state of the object and saving certain things that made it smart, you know. Or have, at least have the ability maybe for introspection. You know, okay. Well, actually, you'd want to a certain degree to be outside of that unit when it comes to, if you want to have it so that you have, basically, as I said, Starfleet Marines, and have it so that the pieces could actually work as a unit together to fight an opponent instead of having them like individual monsters that they react and plan and move independently. You know, which, otherwise, if you do that, that makes it, for, I think, a very boring game. But I think doing that, I think that'd be kind of cool to do that. And I said at the very least, I'd be able to play against an opponent. But yeah, the big thing obviously is going to be the, you know, can we do this kind of massive game board that gets saved off. Now, the big question about that, obviously, is that if you have multiple people at the same time, you have, obviously, at that point, you need to be taking turns and following the rules along that path. And when it comes to that large board, do you have... what I was thinking about doing is that in the case of that board, that if there's no one there, basically it goes to sleep. Nothing happens on the board. But, you know, when you join the game, then you can actually put down your army around the edge and then and move it around to fight. And obviously you want to make sure that an army that you can fight against is relatively close, because you don't want to spend all your free time moving your army across the board to actually reach your opponent. You know, it's very boring. So I think actually we're going to wrap up there. Obviously a very short topic for this evening. But I think covered it quite well. There's many things that can be added onto the topic, but there's some of those questions would have to be answered first. So with that, we're going to wrap up. Had a nice little discussion there talking about the different new ships that are available on Shapeways, and Lord knows, even if you don't buy any of the Shapeways miniatures, go visit the Shapeways store. There are lots of wonderful minis that are in the Shapeways store, especially new ones. If you find your favorite Empire there, you know, at the very least, look at them. If not, buy a couple, because obviously a warning, which is the cheaper that the minis are, the less refined that the actual miniature will look. You know, it'd be bumpy and all that kind of thing. So, and obviously, and then we had a nice little discussion, nice little commentary on Starfleet Marines, and have this whole idea of a large board that everyone gets to play on. You know, from the different armies, you know, different empires. As I mentioned, you know, the big issue with Starfleet Marines is that the abstraction is so much so that, you know, well, we might want to make it a little more not so. So, you know, depends upon if you're a Gorn or human squad or whatever, you know, maybe have that interaction just be just a little bit more unique, you know? So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.